Blog Talk Radio.
Let's see some more of this. Off her phone. She really just needed. Someone died that night, folks. Phone view. Running outside. 2 o'clock in the morning. Triggered by this woman's emotion after she hit another man. And one of them ended up dying. It's a guy who defended himself against these phone views on trial. Brothers, when are y'all going to wake up? It's her fault. And she can get the men to go out and do her thing. Well, something wrong with the men. That's the wrong thing. It's how it's going.
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't remember if I did. I don't know, but I do have a mom.
And you can live with your mom. Yeah. Right? You had a conversation.
Sorry. Why? I was never asked if I was married.
Then a lot of you don't feel this. I had to go play you. I had a soul in her. No, listen to them. Become shut out. Where?
He finds that another woman, Roger Harris, got mad, came and beat him up in front of a camera, looking out the window, lied to her family that she put down, thrown these pumps, and smothered them again. When men had power, none of this happened. Now, does that mean a man isn't supposed to respect a woman in distress? Absolutely not. I can give you countless examples of men defending women. During the time of Jacob and the brothers, 12 tribes, who were in a visiting city, there were some men who took Donna, that's right, one of Christ's sisters, virginity. I believe it was Levi and Simeon. They didn't immediately do things to go to Genesis. They didn't immediately come to them. But they were going to make it right. They were going to get their justice. So what did they do? They say, in order for y'all to get down with us in an allegiance, you must be circumcised to build a covenant relationship with us. And during that time of circumcision, that other nation's killing, Levi and Simeon, I think, came out there and they dealt with those people who violated their religion. Now, of course, our father Jacob was a little angry about it. But all in all, justice was served. But they didn't immediately run out and take it forth. That's what a plan to their father died and their family died. They heard the circumstances and waited. So when men have power, they're not easily triggered running out doing things on the whim of women's emotions. It don't work like that. There's no patience with it. See? So what I'm saying is that a woman shouldn't be protected. But under that circumstance, all of these people know this woman. No one knows this woman better than her own family. And it's not the first time this woman lied, embellished, made up stories, caused conflict. The most men probably have had a history. They can or live perpetually under it. What's 5D? Long-term B. It's where I open the line. The male bee called a drone exists for one reason and one reason only. To lay down with the virgin queen. That's his existence. It's always just someone to lay down with. No purpose, no drive, no ambition, no legacy. It's all about, okay, who can you deal with today? And really, it's what it's supposed to be. Because when that seed leaves you, it's sold by the high mind. See? Then after that, what happens to the throne people? Simple as a day goes. He is entirely expendable after he provides this service to Solomon. The drone takes his mission seriously, however, he gives his life for the cause. Well, that's right. We're under the pathology of the Moynihan report, the childhood experiment, and the men are operating in the mentality of drones leaving no legacy. Last scripture. I'm going to talk about this more. I'm going to break the data so I can call that round table this time. The battle between man and what?
262 area code. You have a comment or question? Are you there? You can hear me? I cannot hear you.
Divine order according to God. Doesn't matter how he got in it. Every man wants to fall. Follow as I am.
Four 470 area code, you have a comment or a question?
All right. Okay, unmuted. Okay, thank you, Ramar. All right. Okay, we have Hebrew Harris on the line. My brother from the same mother.
Shalom, Elder. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. Yourself?
Good. Blessed by the best. And his name is Ahiah. All praises. Beautiful, beautiful lesson you're bringing out tonight. A lot of... When you were speaking about what's going on with our brothers, what came to mind, and this is no shot to any of our men who have been raised by just a mom, but I noticed where when these, for the past couple of generations, these men, our brothers, have been left with being raised by just a mom, and by default, they have feminine ways and don't even know it. And so they think by using aggression or that wanting to bow up is what a man is all about because they didn't have the guidance. So that's what came to my mind when we were seeing how what's going on with our people. And also, I was at work a couple of weeks ago, and I was at a government building, and I was speaking with a guy who's a lead there, and he was in the Air Force. He did, I think he said, 12 years in the Air Force. And through conversation, he brought out and said that he said, you can Google this. He said in the 1970s, the Air Force created a gay bomb to where when they devised this bomb, so when they released it on their enemies, they would automatically have irresistible feelings towards one another, which will diffuse them wanting to fight. And when he said this, I was like, what? And I thought, that's our people. Like, if they were doing this in 1970 with a bomb, they are probably doing it in the foods, in the water we drinking, in the air. If they did this in 1970, so when we see our men now with this pride, they're feminine, the ways, it's only the only protection that we have is the Father through Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's it. It's getting to the point to where a line has been drawn, and you will be taken by the powers of the air if we do not operate in order. The structure, order is so serious and necessary when it comes to family, but it doesn't start with the woman like you brought into the scripture. When that man is submitted to Christ and the woman sees that, there's a power in that family that nothing will be able to destroy you. And it has gotten to the point to where that's our only protection. A man can think he can do it on his own. You can be out there operating, but if you are not under the hedge of protection of the Father, it's not going to go right. You will fall to these women that will set you up, and by you not being in order, you will be deceived and listen to her and be caught up in your emotions and be drifting straight into prison or dead. So it has gotten to the point to where the only refuge we have is in order with the heavens, because lines have been drawn and Satan's tactics are everywhere. He is moving in the background, and it's so deep to where now he's coming out. He is drawing open the curtains. He's everywhere, and we're seeing the destruction. And it's the only protection that we have is through the Father in order. But beautiful lesson, sir. You're bringing out a lot, and we appreciate you. We love you, and thank you for letting the Father use you to teach us and instruct us. Also about how you had a meeting with leadership a couple weeks ago, and you informed them that, listen, we're going to go out street preaching. Be careful. You are receiving guidance from the heavens that other ministries aren't receiving. Thank you, sir. Thank you, because you're letting the Father use you to instruct us and guide us when it's so necessary. So shout out to all leadership, man. We love you, Elder. But that's all, sir. But shalom.
Well, thank you, brother. You know, I appreciate all your support, Hebrew. And it's good to see you. Every time I open up, I'm looking for you sometime. Like, oh, okay, he's there. Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
You're welcome, sir. Right. Shalom.
All right. Shalom. Good, brother. Good, brother. Let me open this up real quick. I need y'all to see this real quick. Because they have accomplished their plan, right? Let me see this. The feminization of men, right? Let me show y'all this, folks. Let me show you this, if you will. I'll throw it over here. Look at this. They have taken June and turned that into Pride Month. Pride Month, folks. And I need y'all to see. I told y'all it's a Satanist that's behind this. I need y'all to see. When you look at Pride Month, right in the middle of it, this is their subliminal They are subliminal programming through the rainbow. Demon monk. Demon monk. The release of Satan's ministers and army on the world. So I'm not down with this garbage Juneteenth either. That's them including us in their madness. Okay, we're not down with that either. All right, let's see. Let's get the next call, if you may. When men had power. Okay, no caller there. 515-605-9327. This will be an early broadcast. So if you're going to get in, you only have a few minutes to get in. You have to call and sit in queue. And we'll get to your call as soon as possible. 470 area code.
Shalom. Shalom. Elder.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, I be seeing people saying, oh, man, the Elder brought out yesterday or something, man, it was groundbreaking. It's always groundbreaking, Elder. All praise to the Most High. Elder, I know our church, we stand on Christ. So Matthew 28:19-20, you know, we stand on Christ. And I wanted to say, Elder, Joe, it's so crazy because, you know what I mean, we want all nations to come. But when I read Job 38:3, and it says, gird up now thy loins like a man. And we see our brothers walking around with their pants off their bottom all the time. It's like, who else are they talking about? And Elder, I wanted to read one scripture, and it's Psalms 28:7. And this is we have to have our strength and trust in, because, you know, as Israelite men and Israelite women, you know, we have to pray three times a day. And that's a part of our duty. So Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart, trust in him. And I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. And that's that three times a day, because we know that we have to pray three times a day. We know we have to go to the Father, to our King, our Savior. So that's the goal, to make sure that we have them 3 points a day, because it covers the whole day of prayer, to make sure that we're covered and we're being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I thank you, Elder, for bringing this out, because it's needed for us men to realize we don't want to be one of the ones that say, oh, man, I should have listened. Like the song you brought forth to the congregation, the fire, you know, after the fire. We don't want to be saying we shouldn't listen. We should have listened. Right now, listen, young men, listen to our Elder. He's bringing what is needed, and we will get the kingdom. And I thank you, Elder, all the elders, all the watchmen. Man, thank you so much, Elder.
Well, thank you, my brother. Bless you. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And it comes a time where some hard stances must be made. Like real women who are seeking legacy and a helpmeet. To be a helpmeet to a good man, have to make the right choices earlier. You see, men, I don't care if they're in the neighborhood, they run around with their pants down, out of order, operating out of their emotions and others. Sisters have to take a hard stance and say, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. I don't care how cute you are or whatever. You're not going anywhere. If you don't pull your pants up and understand what being distinguished look like, you cannot get any of my time. All right? None of my time. So sisters going to have to make some choices, because these men will be running around with their pants down and looking at a hot mess if there weren't women, you know, who agree with it. Right? Next call, 770. Another thing, and this is why, even though in our community, This is why the family courts are leaning towards making sure the women take care of the children. They don't even look at the long-term mental effect that has on daughters, sons and daughters. And the women are looking at it to some degree. I'm not giving them custody. Because, you know, that's a paycheck for 18 years. So then it becomes a perpetual cycle. It's not about the long-term effect, because they tell you, all due respect, a man who raised a child, right, who raised children, have the same rate of success as a two-parent home. And it's not that way the other way around. It's not to say that women can't raise children, because some of them do a great job by themselves. But when you look at the majority, the majority of this project, no pun intended, is failing. And no one wants to give it over to the man. Okay, so, but going back to it, these men run around with their pants down. It's up to sisters to look at it and say, well, no. This is a destructive mentality within our culture that must be broken. And listen, no, y'all stay over there with that hot mess. But as long as women fall and deal with people like that, it'll always exist. Okay? Thank you, 770. Victoria has a comment.
Yes, Victoria. Thank you, Shalom, Elder. I've been in your classes for like about 14 classes.
Thank you.
My father was born in 1913, and I received some documentation from New Bern, North Carolina, the university, and he was talking about how his grandfather owned over 370 acres of land, and the town of New Bern, North Carolina, was burnt down. But these people understood who they were. My father always said, I am not African. I am part of the free men, and we are Native American. Now, his father eventually lost all the land, but he was giving the churches a part of the land. And when they burnt down the town, even though my father had to leave his family, he understood where he came from. And I believe that because we're lost and we cannot remember who we are confused. And that's all I want to say. And I thank you. And I'm just so excited to just learn and learn. I remember what my parents said about me. So I'm seeking the truth. And I just want to thank you.
Well, thank you for all your support, and I hope you're enjoying yourself in the academy. Is it anything you thought it would be? When you originally got into the academy, what did you expect? Because you've been in there 14 times. That means you're not going anywhere. So, but when you came in, what did you expect, and has it exceeded those expectations?
It has more than exceeded the expectations. Oh. I have always been trying to understand what did my father mean when he said he was a part of the 12 tribes.
Mm.
And you are bringing everything into, you're clearing up so many things. My father has been gone for over 20 years, but everything that he talked about, I didn't pay attention to him, but you're putting it together. And I would like to send you the manuscript, because there was a television show called Dawson's Creek. That was my great-grandfather's land. And there were doctors and lawyers that lived in New Bern, North Carolina, and they wouldn't even pay the insurance. But I'm not going to keep on because I know. But I would love to send you this information.
Okay, do that. Do you have a P.O. box?
No, I don't, but I can get it off the website or something. I don't want to keep you. But
okay. Well, go to the website, gatheredofchrist.org, and look at contact. Under contact, you'll see the address for the P.O. box.
Thank you so much. And it is also, North Carolina sent it to me electronically so I can also, so that you can hear his voice. I can send
okay,
it to you that way. Yes.
Do it as soon as possible. Send it to gathering@aol.com.
I'll send it tonight. Thank you so much for taking my
Thank
call.
You. All right. Bless you. You know what? It gets me motivated when I hear what the Academy have done for so many people. And some people might ask, okay, I go to school for this amount of time and I graduate or whatever the case is. What's up with this Academy where people say they've been in there 14 times, right? Is it something you can graduate from? Well, let me tell you, folks, the Academy has grown exponentially in understanding. The closer we get to the end, the more understanding comes. And, hey, I look forward to it every Sunday, okay? Putting my whole spirit into those lessons, connecting the dots, I believe, is that's what she's saying. It brings things to light, makes the Bible easy to understand. Most people look at it from a theological, high-level, academia, spiritual understanding and think that, okay, I can't achieve that. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. Nah. The Bible was meant to be understood by all of us, okay? And it so happens that we're teachers of the Bible, okay? Now, here it is. Of course, we set up churches. We deal with our ministry. We go to the church. But still, we had to establish a school to rival the evil theologian seminary college, okay? And we make it where you don't have to go into debt. It's very cheap. And you'll get more in 3 months than all your life within any religious institution. Guaranteed. Oh, yeah. And guess what? We got a lesson coming down when we go into Who's Edom. We got a lesson called Who's the Jew? Okay. Who's the Jew? Archaeological proof. Okay. Who's the Jew? You can get with this or you can get with that. So we'll give the understanding of Esau, all of that. The historical conversions of European whites who are Jewish. We're going to give you the historical facts. It's not going to be about downing anyone or saying that they're this and we're that. No. The historical facts of Judaism, okay, is what we're going to go into during our Who is Edom segment. We're going to go into the Khazarian conversion and the conversions before that. With the Jewish Encyclopedia open also, all right? So I hope you are there to hear that information when it comes to the Hebrew and Bible Academy, okay? It's every academy, there's different classes. Not one is like the other, and it's done that way intentionally. This way of someone getting to a class, no sense in teaching you what you've learned last class. It'll have the same title, but it'll be an entirely different lesson, right? Go to historytimes.org. Thank you, sister, for all your support. It'll be 20. We got about 20 minutes before the lines close. All right. We have Mike with a comment. Mike with a comment. When men had power. 323 area code. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder Mika.
Oh, Mika. I'm sorry. That A looked like an E. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Mika. How you doing, Mika?
I'm doing fine. I just had, like, some comments because, you know, it's mainly the tribe of Judah that's affected the most. And a lot of women are making really bad decisions because a lot of those women were abandoned by their fathers. So they didn't know how to pick the right guy because they didn't have a father in the home to teach them, you know, or to watch over them, which is why a lot of women were pregnant at early ages without being married because they didn't have their fathers there watching over them. And we had a huge generation of fatherless children. And I think it's some scriptures in the Bible that said that something about the men leaving their children, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a scripture in the Bible pertaining to that.
And, there's no scripture in the Bible that says that.
I thought it was a part of the curse, like the men leaving their children. I thought it was a part of the curse.
No. And not only that, you have to realize there's a lot of misnomers and lies out there concerning the man that media is intentionally distorting or covering up altogether. What they're not telling people is that black men in particular, and it's in their studies, black men in particular are better fathers in most circumstances. And that's a statistic that they don't have out there. Another thing is, no one is saying what was the circumstance that led to the man not being able to stay in the home. So there's a lot of things there, right? So the whole thing is, instead of the blame game, it comes down to, how do we fix it now? How do we fix it, right? So that means it must be a little give and take on either side. Women have the choice now to say, well, okay, I don't want to end up like past generation. I'm not going to give myself or bring forth a child until I'm married. Sisters have full power over their body to operate just like that, and that in of itself will break the curse. They have a choice. Right?
Right?
Because women have the power when it comes to who a man can actually be with, intimate and otherwise. So it comes a time where to break the curse, a woman have to say, well, okay, I'm going to break the curse that happened with my mother or whatever the case is by making sure my children get the two-parent home that I didn't. So how do I, or instead of living the perpetual curse instead because my father's not here, I'm going to continue in the curse. It's up to women to stand up and say, the mothers in particular and others, and or a man who's respected, who they'll actually listen to step in and say, well, hold up. This is how we need to do this going forward to break the curse. On the woman's side, as well as the man's side. Because men will just get with anyone who would allow them. Right? So it's up to the woman to say, well, okay, no. Unless I'm married, no. So the curse has to be broken that way. And then it has to be a thing where men stand up and say, well, okay, I'm staying here. We're going to work things out for the betterment of the household. It's going to have to be some give and take. Right?
Yeah.
But it's all right. I'm going to tell you, sister, and I'm talking about when men had power. It's hard for a man to put his foot down and instill some level of cohesiveness in our community. It's tough.
Yeah.
Because a man is not allowed to be a man. You have to understand, if I'm not going to allow to be who I am, then what good is it? If I'm putting my foot down on in a scenario, and every time I'm saying something or trying to bring some level of stability, a threat of calling the cops. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Afraid of someone calling the cops or because we have a disagreement, the cops come and there's a threat that I have to leave my own home. Men don't like to be emasculated by other men coming in telling them to do what to do with what they paid for. And women today, especially this generation, understand that power of making a phone call to leverage against their man. So women are going to have to understand, if you want a man with power, you're going to have to give up all of your power and not use the leverage of the government against the man. Or it's going to leave women without men. Men aren't playing the game anymore. Because why? Self-preservation. Playing the game is you ending up like this football player whose life is on the line on trial because of a lying woman. So men are seeing it now. If I build a legacy and build a name, for any reason, This woman can file no-fault divorce and take half of everything I built. Men are looking at it like, oh, this wasn't the reason that these laws were put in place to protect women, how it's being used now. In the 50s and 40s and even the 60s, women didn't have the propensity to work like they did now, and the courts was in their favor. Why? Because if a man left, it left a woman without anything. She would be homeless without the dependence of a man. So that's why those laws were in place, where if you leave her, half goes to her. But now women are in the workforce just as men, almost as men, making as much as men. And they still have it where if she go to court, half of everything that man built goes to her. So there's a lot of reasons men are checking out that I think women need to take heed to. Men aren't playing the game anymore.
Right. I'm not trying to blame men, but I'm just listing some things that played a big role or led up to the point of women wanting welfare. You know, it's just some things that led up to that point.
Yeah.
That women were depending upon welfare because, I don't know, like the music, it played a large role in it. Like, it was Don't Trust No Hoes and all types of music they were making, you know, and
let me ask you,
you
got a lot of outside noise in your phone. Are you outside? Where are you?
I'm on a bus right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm on a bus.
Yeah, but like I said, there's many reasons we've come to where we are right now. Right? And like I can give you an example. What city and state? You say you're on the bus, right? What city and state you live? Where are you?
I'm in California right now.
What part of California?
Joshua Tree, California.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 42.
Okay. You're not too far from my age demographic. I grew up in North Philadelphia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, check this out. Now, you know this to be true. What is a woman's first step? What are their first steps for provisions after having a child in the inner city? What are their first steps for provision?
Well, right now, currently, their first step is the bag, because that's all I hear I'm talking about now is the bag.
No. I'm talking about when we grew up. Let me tell you when we grew up. Listen, I grew up 15th and Diamond. I say that repeatedly. I've seen women. My sister, my sister had an early pregnancy. Around the corner had an early pregnancy, and I've seen it real time. And we had a father in the home. Right.
Okay,
but
right.
The first lines of provision is mama telling the daughter to go down and get WIC.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Free milk and Similac and all that. Where you get diapers in the package. And I'm not saying she was wrong. Hey, we didn't have that much money, so anything to help. But you have to understand the systematic dependence that comes with the first thought is government in our society.
Right.
Where it become inherent where the mothers hand that same mentality down to the daughters. Like, no sooner you're having a baby, it's not, well, what is this man going to do? Where is he going to work? What's his strength? Is he going to move you out of our house? None of that. The conversation is automatically social program. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's our go-to first, which is a part of the project. That's our go-to first. And it's time for us to break that cycle. Right? That was something, and you know, we were just taught that way. You get pregnant, go get WIC. Get some public assistance.
Yeah.
Get some stamps. Get
go apply for some food stamps.
Yeah. So, or Or now that you got a baby, make sure you get on that list and get that Section 8. It may take you a year or two, but hey. And I'm not saying it's wrong,
yeah.
but we have to understand the systematic curse that comes with that. Why? Because if you got shelter without doing anything to actually work towards that, then that takes away a level of natural ambition. It takes that away. If you got that same place on your own, you would be further ahead to succeed with having
yeah.
to work from nothing to get to that same point. So it takes away that normal ambition that leads to success, and it replaces that with a level of complacency where
mm-hmm.
people start to feel entitled, like things are supposed to be given to you. And that's a wrong mentality they've placed on people. And I'm just using that as an example. It takes away that drive to understand how you get that after. And that's the instinct the devil is trying to take away, that drive towards power. That can only be achieved with you starting from nothing, with no one giving you anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dynamic that'll have us succeed well beyond those who are trying to keep us in bubble. And guess what? They know that. All right. Thank you, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Great one.
Shalom.
Hey, sister, that's a rough bus you want. I'll tell you that. They getting it in. Lord, you going over hills, bumps? Any shocks on that bus? Lord, have mercy. 919 area code. Like Rosa Parks on that bus.
This is Papa Carlo. Señor,
hey, how
Papa
are you?
Carlo. I just want to let you know I'm calling for the first time that's the first time I get in touch with the Chaba, according to you, the leader, and Casa Father, and I know the truth about 7 years, and I'm coming long way, and I don't have no comment, but I just want to let you know, next time I have a comment, I'll listen to the video, and all the connection, according to Puerto Rico, the office in Puerto Rico. I speak
right.
Spanish, and my son is Grob, and it's true. And his name is Casar. Maybe you remember him. And
yes,
one
I remember.
Time I see you one time before in rally, and I go to the Shabbat, every Shabbat and all of that. So I don't have that much to say right now, but I'm so glad I'm speaking to you in a wiki. Where, you know, whatever needs I need, just to have the doctrine and listen to the correction and keep listening to the service from the Shabbat. That's what I got to say in this moment, you know. But like I said, that's the first time I'm calling, and I'm coming from too many religions and all the different things. And before my son born, my son is 40 years old. He Carlo Jr. and Senior Carlo, myself, you know. So that's what I got to say in this moment. Yes, I'll listen to the video and, you know, and follow through, and I need all the hope again. And maybe next time you get to know me a little bit more. And this is
yeah.
my number, and any leader, and I go to rallies and the Shabbat, Pat Ohana, Ahana, he my pastor, you know, you can get through that, and I'll connect it to Puerto Rico.
Okay, well, Papa Carlos, I took a
yeah.
picture of your phone number, so I'm going to make sure I give you a call.
Okay.
And if you can, it was nice, nice meeting you. I'm going to be trying to make my way to Puerto Rico soon enough. I know you're in North Carolina, but I'll see you.
Yeah. Well, you know, the office in Puerto Rico, the office in Puerto Rico know everything, and over here,
yeah.
I've been in the troop about 7 years, you know, and the
that.
New baby, I say, because I've been baptized about 9 months ago, so I go
Look
through
that.
Trouble and tribulation like anybody else, and talking to the soldier according to how the man and the woman situation, Maori problem, I can have a comment next time according to that. So In this moment, I let the other brother or the family to continue calling you and, you know, see and listen, continue reading and listen to the video and listen
well,
to the Shabbat. Yes.
Do us a favor, Papa Carlos, for the brothers
yes,
and sisters.
Yes.
Let the brothers and sisters know in Spanish.
Yes.
Tell the brothers and sisters out there to rise Israel in Spanish. Come on, show them the prophecies are coming to pass. Rise Israel.
Oh, my language is Spanish, you know, so I'm able to
win people to
the truth. Yes.
No, well, let's say rise Israel in Spanish. Let's hear it.
Israel, the 12 tribe Israel, la 12 tribu de Israel, you know, so my language is Spanish. Sometimes I can get it together in a rare way, but I know I can write, but I can speak on it, you know,
English.
I'll
say it.
I've been here.
No, just say it.
Yes.
Listen, just say it, Papa. Papa Carlos, rise Israel. Come on. Give it to him.
Yeah.
Say it.
La 12 tribu de Israel, the first church from the Jesucristo, Jesus Christ. I know.
That's right.
I don't want to go
bless
back
you,
to say Jesus because it's a no good no name. But Christ is the Savior in Jehovah Ahaya. Is the name of Almighty God according to
look at
Deuteronomy?
That.
Deuteronomy,
all right.
Chapter 6, verse 4. So, wow, I got too many
bless
things
you,
to say according to that. So in this moment, yes, I have to, you know, get it together for the next time.
Hey, Kwam Yashawa. Papa Carlos, one of many phone calls to come. Ephraim from Puerto Rico, Nephtali from the Isles of Hawaii, the Lord is calling back Israel. look at what the Most High is doing, brothers and sisters, throughout the four corners of the earth, prophecy real time, where even the Spanish tribes that they try to label Latina or Latino, is calling on the name of Ahaya. With a new lip and a stammering tongue will I speak to this people. Isaiah 28:11. Brothers and sisters, we are all living prophecy. Everything Christ said would be done in this earth in the last days, raising his people, is happening. Folks, and I'm just so humbled to be a part of it. The Most High could have used, he could use anyone. He could have used anyone. Speaking of, you know, and I'm going to talk about this at another time, right? I told brothers a couple of weeks ago that something is going on with these speakings to make sure that they're careful out there. And I think a brother spoke on that earlier. To be careful out there because someone is going, may try to cause a provocation that would shine a negative light on us speaking out on the streets that would lead to them changing certain laws. If something happens in our camp or while we're teaching, pack up and leave. It was that Tuesday before that stuff went down between IUIC and Israeli Church of UPK. That Tuesday beforehand, I warned everyone in our leaders, our elders and leaders meeting, to watch out on the streets. And look what happened. Right? And guess what? Ivan C. doing their provocations, right? Because I guess they're arguing online. They're even trying to pull us into that. And I'm like, I'm not dealing with that. Like the brother from the general or whatever from Israeli Church of UPK said something like, after talking about some other people, he's going to pull out my name and say, yeah, recall. And them brothers are overseas, and there's reports of brothers with little girls. This is what they're saying on their video discussions, arguing with each other and trying to pull us into that. And there's nothing like that anywhere that have ever been heard of amongst our church. But that shows you that, I'm going to tell you, folks, people are losing it. People are losing it. So never get, and I'm putting it out there because someone put my name in their mouth, and I don't say anything negative about any of these people. But be careful what y'all hear, folks. I told people when it came to the jabby jab, a lot of the same groups weren't speaking against it. And I said, when the sun comes out, you're going to see those who are affected by it, and there's going to be some strange behavior when it comes to provocation and unexplained aggression amongst those who got the stuff in there. And I said that. And I'm not going to be pulled in. I'm like, you know what? If the only thing you can do is lie and say things, that's a losing scenario. If you have to lie to cast aspersions on someone, that's a losing spirit. This church, we don't bother anyone. We do our work in Christ. We don't try to pull us into y'all stuff. We good. You're going to try to cast some stuff out there like something happened with us overseas that dealt with some level of evil. Talking about, yeah, they are not being with these little girls. None of that stuff ever happened. Don't ever believe this crap. The same way other people will pull other people on a video only to try to pull us into some crap, some evil. Don't go for none of that. One-sided understanding. To try to cast some negative on the church when all these men claim to be men of God following the Bible. But what about the Bible says, receive not an accusation unless it be before two or more witnesses. Men cannot be on rumor mills. Men cannot be on rumor mills and operating in the spirit that you see online. Like the housewives of Atlanta around here. So be very careful, brothers and sisters, what you hear. I told you all, a lot of these same people who was pushing the jabby jab and saying, well, it's okay. Oh, they don't want to talk about that. But I told you, soon as the sun come out and they allow people to come out, we're going to see all types of strange, aggressive behavior out here. Be very careful. This is the scriptures where it talks about the attacks of the specters in Shadims. And I think Elder Lawyer sent me the video, and they said something about us. I mean, this Israeli school or church or UPK or something, whoever they are. And I'm like, what? I'm like, you know what? May the Most High bless them. They lied on Christ. And that's what they have to do when they have nothing negative that they can actually point to. They have to stoop to a level of making things up. That's a losing proposition. Not with us, but with God. Okay, we had Mika. Okay. Matai Mana.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
I'm blessed. My name is Mata Mana. I'm calling from the Las Vegas Body here in Nevada. How are you?
How are you? I'm blessed by the best. And his name is Ayah.
Praises. I just wanted to share with you definitely a shout out to our Las Vegas leadership, our deacon, and our officers. But my husband and I, I'm Naphtali, married into a tribe of Judah. And we share two boys, 11 and 8. And
okay.
The way how my husband conducts our home, you know, there are moments when I do step out of character, but what I do is I humble myself.
Why?
Not only to
why?
Sometimes, you know, I just need to be, you know, like most wives, you know, we are work to perfection, to maturity, but I accept, you know, what I need to do is submitting
but
to my
why,
husband.
But in those yes. instances, why do you step out of character? You ever ask yourself that question? Why?
Yes.
Why?
Because I choose to entertain spirits that I should by now know better, and you know, and things of that nature. But I apologize, not just to him, but in front of our boys, our children, you know, letting them know that, hey, you know, mom is out of line and mom is definitely going to fall back in order in the line given from the Most High, Yeshaya, or, you know, my husband, and showing them the humility that I have to possess,
okay.
You know, part of
that's
the
good.
Riwak. But I just wanted to share that because without our leadership, you know, and the Most High, the Riwak in Christ, but it took years, you know, still a work to maturity, work to perfection. But, you know, I just wanted to share with you and, you know, those watching that for the next generation coming up, you know, letting them know and have an example that they can look up to as mom and dad. So that's all.
Well, sister, I'll tell you, it takes a virtuous woman. It takes a real good person to admit when there's a fault there and, you know, and that you're willing to improve that. Because let me tell you, so many people out there, men and women alike, are too proud to say when they're wrong.
God.
And believe it or not, I believe that's a part of us breaking the curse too, us owning up to our own stuff, right? And admitting that. And that's a place of growth. That's a place you can grow from, recognizing what's trying to turn you dark. So many of us try to ignore it and say, well, I don't want to be seen this way, so I'm not going to admit what I know exists is there.
Yes.
But not. But there's no learning curve. There's no growth from that. So I'm going to tell you, you sound like a young lady, but you're on your way. I'm going to tell you, because at least you can admit when there's wrong in yourself. And that, and guess what? That's a virtue. That's a virtue. Thank you, sister.
Blessings to you guys. Shalom.
Bless you. Shalom. And don't be giving that man a hard time. Sunshine, what you doing?
Hi. Shalom.
How are you?
Hi. Shalom. Hi, Elder.
Shalom,
hi.
Sister. How are you?
Oh, God. Oh, praise the Lord.
Come on, let's get to it. Let's get to it.
Okay. Okay, Elder. Oh, wow. We see two things working in tandem onto destruction. Like, one thing is that our men have been so disrespected, like you mentioned, and removed from their higher status according to the word, that they have now folded and crouched down even as an old lion. And the other thing working is women who present as, you know, as women, they're wearing a mask, and to some level, they seem on the outward appearance as if they're feminine and natural and right, but are really themselves menstruous monsters that, too, bring forth a generational curse of children who likewise act as menstruous monsters, because these women are unhedged by a man, whether it's through marriage or under the church, and are then completely ordered. And more we see, like Brother Hebrew Harris was saying, just how necessary for our own benefit is that Corinthians 11 order to keep us on this straight and narrow path to the kingdom of heaven, because it is no longer seeing the particular issue through a glass dimly, but we can see now exactly who, you know, have bought into this and continue to carry the waters of the Willie Lynch, because carrying that water is reducing both men and women in our community and even outside of our communities to a population of victims who then perpetrate undesirable behaviors one amongst another, but are really victims all. So the win-win for Satan is that women and men are both left with feelings of entitlement to their own feelings as victims, and it creates a cycle of selfishness that keeps each party in bondage to their own insecurities and own dysfunction, so both parties just stand still. And without Christ to break the hypnotic confusion, there would be, like, perpetual chaos. So I'm just so grateful for Christ's sacrifice that gives us a chance to save ourselves from the land of the North Country, and ultimately gives us hope to restart, in his everlasting kingdom to come in order according to the Most High. And to be under the hedge of a man of Ahia is the greatest gift and desire any woman could ask for. So, that's all I wanted to say.
I concur.
Thanks the Most High.
Bless you.
Bless you. Bless you, Elder.
Hey, she be dropping dimes. All right, we have Ak Abadia, last call for this evening. And this, we have an early exit tonight. Have a great, great evening after this call, brothers and sisters. Keep in mind, it's beautiful outside. Be very careful because the devil is out like a roaring lion seeking whom he could devour. And they're going to use this summer to trigger a lot of evil activity that's going to lead to much criminality, conflict, and or even death. They're going to have 5G turned up on bleak. All right? So don't get urged into these emotions that will lead to a conflict, okay? When something happens, understand, okay, this is what Elder Rick Carshaw was talking about. Let me pull it all the way down to zero, go to the bathroom and pray real quick. I'm not going to let the devil pull me into a confrontation. Last call for today. Abadah.
Shalom. Akabijah Ban Yehuda. Brother Hayes, son of Judah.
Shalom, my brother.
Shalom, Elder. Elder, this lesson, as every lesson, me and my daughter, we don't miss not one lesson. It's amazing. But what really hit me, Elder, is Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Most High, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Now, Elder, I grew up without a dad, but that's what my mom taught me, Elder. She kept me in these scriptures. So everything that you're saying, if brothers that don't have dads stay in these scriptures, the Most High will lead them, okay? And one other scripture, because this war that we in, it speaks volumes to the lessons and everything, your wisdom and your counsel is showing us. But Psalm chapter 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set counsel together against the Most High and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So we was born into this war, Elder. Like you said, in all praises to the Most High, you opening up the eyes of brothers and sisters, you know? So we grateful, Elder, and all praise. We just grateful. We thankful. So we say, Thawada,
thank you.
Double honors and keep doing what you're doing. Family, just stay in code. Stay on
thank
code.
Thank you, my brother.
Stay up
thank
under
you.
The guidance of the elders, bishops, deacons, and officers. Elder Dar, double honors. We love you and thank you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, my brother. Bless you and your family. Until we see Zion, I'll see you soon enough. Shalom.
Shalom.
Last but not least, before we end the calls, okay? A matter of fact, I'll end the program now. Thank you, Elder Ramar. Let me end that now.